good. Here we go. Welcome to our series on a spiritual smoothie. We look at the fruit of the Spirit and how they're blended together with the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we'll be taking a different one each week. And last week, Pastor Jordan talked about patience. This week, we're looking at goodness and kindness. They go together. And I'd like for us to read sort of the proof text, which is Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And you can blame last service, okay? They just read better standing up, so why don't you stand with me and complain? Oh, brother, right? Weren't you here last week? It was patience, okay? So no complaining, all right? Let's read this with passion. All right, let's go. But the fruit of the self-control. Against such things there is no law. Give somebody a high five and have a seat. Good job. Well, this weekend you can follow along in the notes in the app if you have that. And if you're old enough, you know this sort of one-liner prayer. And I'll invite you to read it out loud with me and go ahead and fill in the blanks. All right, are you ready? So let's toss it up. God is great. God is amen, yeah. Kids pray that, and hungry adults want to get right to the food, pray that. Let's just cut the chase, right? God is good. Let's talk about the goodness of God. It's essential to who he is. In fact, it sets our God apart as the God of Christianity from all other gods in humanity. And the definition of goodness is the quality or state of being good, obviously. So good is of favorable character, honorable, true, and virtuous. So God is honorable. He's true and virtuous. He has favorable character. And it's at the core of who he is. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit wants to work that in us, that it could be said of us that because of God, we also have his goodness within us. And that's really key when it comes to kindness. We'll unpack that in just a moment. There's several verses that talk about the goodness of God. And one of those is Psalm 34. Let me read for you the first few verses. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Let me just stop right there. And I realize how often I read the Bible, and it's probably more a declaration of faith than a reflection of factual obedience. I don't bless the Lord at all times. Do you? Is his praise continually in your mouth? There are times that I'm having a bad day, I'm distracted, somebody else has helped me have a bad day or whatever. But wow, I'm much better off when his praise is continually in my mouth, and my soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Now, we're going to go ahead and be truthful readers of that. Or my soul make its boast in the Lord. Again, if we had a manuscript of our thought life and our speech, I'm sure there are some days I don't boast in God. Well, today's not going to be one of those, all right? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a little assignment. At the count of three, I want you to say out loud four statements about your God. I want you to brag on him, and I want you to say, my God is, and then fill in the blank, four times. My God is, my God is, my God is, my God is. You ready? And you're going to boast about something amazing about God. Ready? Let's go. One, two, three. My God is, my God is. All right. Now, you can already sense there's almost a mood shift in the room. If we kept doing that 10 times, 20 times, you would definitely feel it within yourself. There's something about how it impacts our countenance and our spirit when we are in touch with the goodness of God and the greatness of God, and we inform ourselves and declare that. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. We just got done doing that together in worship. And again, when we gather together and we're singing and the band is playing, there's just something that lifts us toward him. And then verse 8, oh, taste and see. Say taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. I love this word picture, and I couldn't help but kind of combine that with the thought of a spiritual smoothie and the fruit of the Spirit. It's not quite the season yet, but one of my favorite fruits when they are cold and juicy and that perfect kind of ripe is a peach. And you know a peach when it looks kind of like this picture here, all right? That look delicious? You know, I mean, before I'm done, I got the whole pit in my mouth. You know, anybody else can do that? You don't eat it, but you just kind of suck on it, right? The juice drips down your chin. You have a napkin, you know. And just like, and the psalmist is using that word picture to say, God's goodness is like that. It is delicious to your soul. Taste and see. If you're here and you haven't accepted Christ, you're not a follower of his. Taste and see. And you'll see that he is, he's good for your soul. He's delicious. And then the next verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11, is a bit of a reality check as well. The Apostle Paul says, to this end also we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill, get this, every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. I got to tell you, I feel a little convicted by that. There's a lot of desires in this room. A lot of desires we're praying about. Oh, God, please, will you? Oh, God, okay. I wonder how often, at least maybe I'm projecting, I could want this goodness a lot more than I do. I could long for it. I could yearn for it. I want the goodness, not God's goodness toward me. God, I want your goodness in me as a person. I want it to be observed instead of me. Wow, it's a good person there. Not because of me, but because of God's goodness. How much do we really long for his goodness? Because Paul says, I pray that that's what you have. You know, we have our mission statement to know God. We could edit that to know a good God, to be his good people. Work not only to long for that from him, but also within us that he accomplishes that. So I challenge you this week. Let one of your prayers be in the list of all the list of please do and take care of this for me, God. Just pray, Lord, fill me with your goodness. Let my character, Holy Spirit, work, cultivate, grow the fruit of goodness in me as it is in God. Honorable character, true and virtuous. And then you'll find that as that happens, it's better for us. It raises our emotional intelligence, our relational intelligence. When we have goodness. In fact, goodness in a person is a great foundation from which to do difficult relational work. And all of us, if we're honest, have difficult relational work that we have to do at times. Those crucial conversations, as Joseph Grenny calls them. Those speaking the truth in love, as the Apostle Paul talks about. And all I know is that when I've had those kind of conversations, they are much more of a positive experience for me when the person I'm dealing with has got goodness in them, and I do better when I have the same. Look at Romans 15, verse 14. The Apostle Paul says, concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness. Would the people who hang around you say, boy, I've seen him, I've seen her in the good and the bad, I've seen them with people that are easy to be with, hard to be with, I've seen them in enjoyable times and hard times, and I'm convinced they're full of goodness. Is that what your life and your words and your attitude and your reactions are convincing people of? That's a good person there. And it's not all about them. It's a goodness from God. I'm convinced that you're full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. That word admonish is where I talk about difficult relational work. Admonish is gentle, stern warning or reminder. It is a gentle, stern reminder of duties and obligations or difficult advice. And when I've gotten a lot of advice. I've got loads of unsolicited advice through the years. Thank you. but I've gotten some rough advice too. And the difficult advice is much more palatable when the person giving it has a good heart. And that goodness is in them. And boy, you know, faithful are the wounds of a friend. It's much easier to take. And it's much better to give as well. And so I think it's appropriate, I won't ask for a show of hands, but most of us have got relationships and circumstances and people in life, and you're going to have some difficult relational work that has to be done, it's very appropriate to say, Holy Spirit, fill me with goodness. As I'm entering into this conversation, fill me with goodness when I have to deal with that person this week. Give me your goodness because I want to have that as a foundation for what I would do. Because, man, when it's not there, I can do some really dysfunctional things. And so that's just at the heart of who God is. And he wants that to be at the heart of who we are. And I believe there's a link between goodness and kindness. And so we put together an illustration of this. And I started looking online. I got several little quick clips of the point I'm trying to make. And I needed a couple more, and so I handed off the weekend team. You guys are like a third my age. You're way better at the internet than I am. So can you find another one of these or so? And so as you watch about 4 minutes of video clips, I want to ask you to pay attention. Ask yourself, how does this make me feel as I see this? Okay, what am I feeling? What are my responses inside as I'm watching this? Okay, so watch this.
When 17-year-old high school senior Jamal Hinton got a text telling him Thanksgiving dinner was at 3 this year.
Wow, it's either the wrong number or my grandma learned how to use her phone.
So Jamal asked for a picture and got a selfie of Wanda Dench, somebody's grandma, just not his.
He texted me back with his picture and said, "You ain't my grandma, but can I still have a plate?"
That's where you might expect the story to end. But like a true grandma,
I said, sure you can. I said, that's what grandmas do.
The two met last night, and Jamal's whole family is now going to Wanda's for Thanksgiving.
You know, I've got to figure out how big a turkey I need for 20 people.
Their text touched a nerve.
I'm at 392,000 likes, 186,000 retweets, and 1.7 million views.
We've noticed that people are seeking these feel-good, uplifting, heartwarming, humanizing stories.
How much do people rally around stories like this?
Oh, you see, like, tons and tons. Yes. So
earlier this year, a couple mistakenly sent a group text to strangers about their new baby boy. The recipients they had never met brought gifts to the hospital. And who could forget Sad Pawpaw, who hosted a barbecue for hundreds after his grandkids didn't show up for homemade burgers. For new friends Jamal and Wanda this year, there is a lot to be thankful for.
I feel like everybody sees this joy that two strangers can actually connect.
Leaving the rest of us thankful for the smile.
This waitress is pregnant, and today she is going to meet some strangers who's going to change her life forever.
What's your biggest tip you've ever gotten?
$100?
All right, well, my friends and I put some money together. You just kind of got lucky that we have your section.
Oh, thanks. I'll take it up for you.
But I want to, yeah, we pay up front.
Oh, okay.
But got to make one deal, though. You have to give a little bit of money to the cooks. Okay? This is $1,300.
No.
Yes?
I cannot take
that. Yes, you can. Listen, take 300 of it, spread with them, and you keep $1,000. Yes, you can.
With this $1,300, it's going to change her life. When times are tough, it's good to see that we still have good people out there who are watching over us. Pregnant, single, being in college, whatever it is, this is amazing. So beautiful. And if this video made you happy, share the love as well.
Excuse me. Hey, sorry to bother you. Are you in a rush?
Not so much.
Not so much? Do you have a couple minutes for a little interview?
All right.
Maybe? Yeah. Okay. What's it like to be you?
Not fun. Because I grew up bullied my entire life, and it makes me aware of my when people are staring at me.
What's it like to be stared at?
It triggers something in me.
Wary of someone who might have bad intent towards you, maybe?
That's exactly how it is, yeah.
Is it annoying to have to deal with that?
Yeah. Like, look around you. We're all different. We are all unique in our own way. What's so different about me?
Are you happy?
No.
Because of this?
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
It's annoying. For example, I have to go to therapy to feel like I belong.
Do you feel like you belong now?
Somewhat.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
You're a very special person.
Thank you.
Puppy. We worked on this for a couple of weeks. It's a he.
Yeah. I've probably watched those a dozen times, and they still choke me up. Some of you are wiping your eyes. Why? Ask yourself why. Every one of those scenarios, one proper response would be, how kind? And I tried to avoid just toxic charity, given, you know, everybody who works with the homeless tell me just to give them money, a homeless person doesn't help them in the long run. So I mean, you have a dad, big tough dad, getting a puppy to replace man's best friend that he lost. You know, you've got that poor guy that's dealt with his complexion his whole life, and just, he's just inside, I explode with a smile of somebody just talking to him and connecting with him as a person, not a complexion, just somebody. How kind. You see that soon-to-be single mom, and Joyce was in first service. I guess you saw that on TV. There's a breakfast club of people that go from restaurant to restaurant. They do that for people. But there she's trying to earn her way, and then that group just blessed her with that. It's just, how kind. And the poor grandfather, I mean, every service it's the same. Every service, when it saw the grandfather, his grandkids didn't show up, the whole, all you go, oh. Yesterday I spoke at a commencement in Central Ohio, so I didn't get back in time. We recorded the sermon in case I didn't get back in time, and so we showed a video of me preaching. And so I was in the back, I did close with communion, but I was in the back watching this video, and one of the guys with me goes, oh, that just gives me goosebumps. There's just something about seeing that kindness, and then the accidental Thanksgiving meal and the hospital visit and all that. There's something, I believe, theologians call it the Imago Dei, the image of God. We're created in the image of God, and so God is a good God. And God is a God of kindness, and when we as human beings see just genuine kindness, it connects in us. It triggers that hunger in us for a connection with Him. I mean, did you hear the hundreds of thousands of likes and retweets that young man is having about his gracious Thanksgiving connection? Why? People long for that. They long for kindness. It's almost like a touch of God on a person's soul. And so when we look at the fruit of the Spirit coming from the one who gives us that next point, from God's wellspring of goodness flows His kindness. I believe they're together. Goodness is a dimension of being, and kindness is the action that flows from being. Definition, it is affectionate and loving. Kindness is of a sympathetic or a helpful nature to give pleasure or relief reflected with kind-hearted acts. Would you say kind-hearted? The most kind-hearted act of all is recorded in Scripture, in the history of the universe. And it's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. And it says, but God being rich in mercy, He is rich in mercy. We don't deserve it. Mercy is something you cannot earn. You can't earn the benefits of mercy. Rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us. Even when we were dead in our sins, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God, who created this universe, we ruined it with our own sin, out of the goodness of who He is and the kindness of His heart, did the most kind thing that could possibly be done. He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross to pay for your sins and mine and give us the hope of eternal life in heaven. How kind is that? It's reiterated in Titus chapter 3, verse 4. And Paul says, but when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds. You can't earn your way to heaven, which we've done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. God is a God of kindness, and the kindness of God is shown in Jesus. So when we look at that, God's kindness, out of his character, the goodness of his character, he does kind things. And so, out of the goodness of God's character in you and I, we're to do the same. You look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. And it's interesting here that as he lists these things are kind of characteristic of servants of God, it says, but in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, hunger. I think I haven't been through that for the cause of my faith, although many have been and are around the world. Pray for the persecuted church. Those are all characteristics of servants of God. And then he goes on, also, so is purity, knowledge, patience, kindness in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love. These are meant to be characteristics of us because we're servants of God. And so if someone were to observe us and follow us around, as Paul says, I've seen this in you, would they accuse us? Would they talk about our kindness? Would they at work, would they in the neighborhood, would they when you're out and about just in the community? How kind. And most of us, I guess I'll impose on us, maybe it's not accurate, most of us struggle with how do I share my faith? Especially in a culture that is increasingly hostile to Christ and Christianity and increasingly hostile to the idea of absolute truth. Who are you to tell me what I need to believe? So how do we share our faith? I believe that kindness preaches one of the most universal sermons that people still long to hear. People still long to see it. Hundreds of thousands of people will like it and retweet it and share it because, wow, look at this. It's kindness. They don't fill in the blank. Like the kindness of the God who made us. It resonates with us. And so it's not just enough to know about the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, there's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, or goodness and kindness. But then you need to cultivate this fruit in your spirit, in your life. So let's look at a few places and how to cultivate it. And we'll see something interesting about kindness you might not expect. And this is where I kind of want to make the suggestion that by doing acts of kindness, it's evangelistic in itself. Romans 2, verse 4, do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? The kindness of God leads us to repentance. The Bible, he's referencing back in the book of Romans to the people of Israel in the Old Testament, and God was kind toward them, did not give them what they deserved, judgment. How many of you know God hasn't given you what you deserve? Just raise your hand if you don't, because he hasn't. He doesn't give you judgment, he gives you grace, he gives you kindness. And in the Old Testament, he was patient with them, and he withheld judgment, and he waited, because in that withholding, it gave people opportunity instead to repent and to return to him. And do you think lightly of his kindness? Do you think lightly of his kindness toward you? Because it says his tolerance and his patience. Do you know that there's times God just has to tolerate you? Or are you perfect like Christ? There's times he's got to be patient. In fact, I'm sure an angel might say, how are you doing today, Lord? He'll say, fill in the blank with your name. They are getting on my last nerve. He's patient with you. At least I know he has to be patient with me. There are times he has to tolerate me because I get in the way and I get all over things. And yet he's kind. Gives the benefit of the doubt. Sees the goodness that he's working in you, and it's a work in process. And so, you know what? I'll tolerate, and I'll be patient. And as we receive goodness, and as we receive kindness, that is meant to be a cultivating force in us, that we will do the same. Romans 11, verse 22, Paul puts a couple of words together you wouldn't expect. Behold then the kindness and severity of God. What? To those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Now here, it helps to understand Old Testament history, but the Old Testament believers, many rejected God. He waited out of kindness. Repent, get your act together, come back to me. If not, boom, you're done. And he's saying to us, the kindness of God leads us to repentance, but if not, there is also a severe side of God. God's a God of justice. God's a God of justice. His mercy, but his mercy does reach the place, or okay, then it's going to be judgment. This helps us balance out who God is, because as C.S. Lewis talks, we have a tendency to make God like this divine, kindly, enabling grandpa. Everything's just wonderful and okay. When it's not. He's still a God of truth. He's still a God of character. He's still a God of virtue and honor. And so he's patient and he's kind and he waits, but he expects us to respond. And as a Christian, the fruit of the Spirit are not optional. Let's get cultivating it. We talk about God, and in our mission statement, we talk about to know God. You really could insert in there to know a good, kind God. And to be his people, to be his good, kind people. There's an expectation there that as we know God, and we know his goodness, and we know his kindness, we receive that, then likewise, that then gets replicated in us, and I replicate God's goodness, the Holy Spirit cultivates that, and I also show the same kind of kindness to other people that I might have to tolerate to be patient with, just like God has done with me. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, would you point yourself and just say chosen? Because God picked you. Chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. That is meant to humble us. Because I'm really aware of who I got complaints against, who I have to bear with, who I have to endure. And the Holy Spirit's like, well, yeah, but your Heavenly Father has had to do that with you first. And you have been a recipient of his goodness and his kindness when you didn't deserve it. And now that you are drinking deeply of that, now it is your turn, servant of God, your turn, follower of Christ, to show that humility, fruit of the Spirit, show that gentleness and patience, and bear with other people and forgive other people, even when you've got complaints against them. It's a little more difficult climb. You look at this kindness. And then Matthew 5:16 is also, it speaks to how kindness is an evangelistic tool. It also is going to speak to some homework I want to assign to you. It's in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus said, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works, your good deeds, your kindness, and glorify your Father who's in heaven. So the homework that I'd like to assign to you this week is at least three times. Do something kind for someone who doesn't necessarily expect it. Don't have to give them $1,300. It could be so much as just a conversation with somebody that otherwise gets overlooked. It could be just an affirmation or a compliment. It could be a small kind deed, whatever. But three times this week, do something that an observer would say, how kind. Because in this world, if there's one thing we're short of, it is kindness in our culture. Because if I don't agree with you, vote like you, look like you, feel like you, whatever, then forget that, all bets are off. But not to followers of Christ, not to Christians, not to those who have received goodness and from one who is overflowing with kindness. No, on the contrary, I stand out. My light shines. We're the salt of the earth. We change the flavor of our society. Why? Because we are good and we are kind from the one who received that from, so we're able to give that. And so I've asked the team if they would sort of close us out, and then we're going to take communion together. If you haven't received the elements, if you'll raise your hand, your section leader will get them to you if you missed them on the way in. But I asked them just to share this song that talks about the kindness of God and the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And there's a couple of hands that are up here as well. And then we'll partake together.
Mercy is forever, forever. We sing, what kind.
Aren't you glad that God's kindness and mercy are forever? Because I certainly need it. I invite you to take the bread from the communion cup that you received. You're going to hold it in your hand and look at it. And the Bible says that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." If we're to examine ourselves, would you just reflect on how urgently and how consistently you need the kindness of God for you? Would you say a prayer of thanks for all the patience, all the times he's tolerated your bad behavior, your attitudes, your reactions, your self-centeredness? I don't think I'm just speaking for myself. I am so thankful for his kindness toward me. Heavenly Father, we don't deserve your goodness, and that's what's so amazing about it. Our own sin ruined the planet as you created it, and yet you loved us so much, you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus, to be our Savior, to forgive us and to give us the hope of eternal life. How kind of you. How incredibly, divinely, eternally kind. From the bottom of our hearts, I want to say thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for saying yes to that, for allowing your body to be broken for us. Thank you. And as you instructed us, as we take this bread today, we do this in remembrance of the incredible kindness you displayed for us. Let's take the bread together. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. After he'd given thanks, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Would you just let your attention go to that cup that you hold? That represents the blood of Jesus shed for you, to forgive you of your sins, to heal us of every disease. If you need healing, ask him. If there are things you feel convicted of, ask for forgiveness. His best earthly friend, John, said, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness." So as you confess your sin, thank him for forgiveness. And whenever I do a wedding with a couple, if they have communion in their ceremony, I remind them that as you take this cup, you are not only making a pledge that as often as you need forgiveness, you'll seek it, but as often as you need to give forgiveness, you'll give it. Would you allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart and your attitude? Are there people you need to forgive? Are there people you need to release from their offense? That you need to be patient and kind toward? Forgiveness is not given because somebody deserves it. Forgiven is given because the one granting it has the goodness of God and the kindness to let it be. So if there is, say a prayer of forgiveness. Release them of that offense. And Jesus, we are so thankful that we've received your kindness. And that out of the goodness of your heart, you're willing to pay the ultimate price that we could be forgiven. And so for those sins that many have confessed in this moment, we thank you that you cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But Lord, for those of us that have felt convicted because we hold something against someone, how dare we do that? And so, Holy Spirit, we ask for your help. We need you to fill us with enough goodness and let enough kindness flow through us that we will release them from that offense and that we will forgive them in our heart, even now, this moment. If you have the opportunity, give us the opportunity that can happen relationally, we entrust that to you as well. But we receive forgiveness with gratitude and we give it in gratitude and kindness as well. And we do this in remembrance of you. In your name we ask it. Let's take the cup together. Thank you. And now, my friends, you have a homework assignment in light of the goodness and kindness of God we've just celebrated. And that is that you will, and you're going to have a thought hit you, a nanosecond, be kind. Do this. Be kind. Say that. Be present. Whatever. You're going to have at least three of those this week. And as you do, everybody who is agreeing that I will be willing to be kind in those moments the Holy Spirit prompts me, everybody who will do that said amen. All right. God bless you. Have a great week. A kind week. Thank you.